Obviously, I rise to express some differences of opinion with the prior two speakers, but I want to speak more generally on the issue of where we stand relative to financial markets. But if doing better is to follow the proposals of Senator Obama, which have been estimated by a very legitimate estimating source to include over $300 billion of new spending annually on new programs, unpaid for, I don't think that's doing better. Doing better is going to follow a path where we raise taxes on the American people, especially small businesses. I don't think that's doing better. Doing better means that you approach an issue which is as deep and as significant as what we confront today in the financial markets, with a lot of partisan rhetoric about the failure of the Bush administration to make the stock markets function correctly, when this Congress has been controlled by the Democratic Party for 2 years and had more than ample opportunity to address the restructuring of the regulatory entities, and in fact, proposals were made to restructure Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which were rejected by members from the other side of the aisle, by legitimate leadership on our side of the aisle on that issue, that's not better. The nation today confronts a very significant fiscal issue. The finance houses of New York are in disarray. The credit markets are locked down. And the American people and the world generally is very concerned about its assets and their assets and how they are protected and whether they're going to be able to continue to be liquid and viable. And it's not constructive for the senator from Rhode Island to come to the floor and start pointing to the Clinton years as showing a huge run-up in the stock market and the Bush years as showing a flat stock market, and in the process ignoring the internet bubble of the late 1990s, which drove the stock market down radically in 2001 and led us into a recession, which was done, that run-up occurred under the Clinton years, and obviously they benefited from that, and the Bush years, regrettably, got socked with the recession. That's not constructive. It's not constructive to put charts up which claim an economic recovery hasn't occurred since the internet bubble burst and the 9/11 attacks occurred. In fact, over the last 6 years, federal revenues up until about 5 months ago when we hit this significant economic slowdown, federal revenues had reached historic highs. We'd seen 3 years of the greatest increase in federal revenues in the history of this country as a result of a tax law that encouraged entrepreneurship, encouraged people to do things which were taxable. And job creation was pretty significant, too. Over 8.5 million jobs were created over that time period. And yes, jobs have been lost, and that's not good in the last few months, But to put that in the context of a partisan atmosphere which says that this is all the functioning of a administration, when Congress controls the purse strings and Congress controls a large part of the policy and Congress is controlled by the Democratic Party, is inappropriate in my opinion. Furthermore, if you're going to want to look for culprits here, the real culprit of this economic disorientation that we're going through is the fact that credit was made too easy for too long, and basically borrowing became an inexpensive event, almost a zero-cost game because of the interest rates, which the Fed maintained over a long period of time at such a low level, federal funds rate. And as a result, these debt instruments, which were written on real estate, were written in a way that basically neither looked at the underlying asset for equity value to support the debt instrument, nor looked at the fact that in the out years as those debt instruments required reasonable return through interest increases, whether or not the borrower could support them. And so we've had this huge dislocation, this meltdown in the subprime market, which is being followed on by other real estate instruments. So it's not constructive, and it's certainly, I think, a reflection of lack of leadership when the only answer of the other side of the aisle is to come forward and start claiming that they are pure and this side or the president is not, when in fact there is more than enough blame to go around here as to how we got to this situation. The Federal Reserve deserves a lot of that. We in the Congress deserve a lot of it for not doing our job and oversight, and obviously the administration deserves a lot of it. But it's not unilateral in its placement, to say the least. So how do we get out of this? Well, I think first off, we ought to acknowledge that an aggressive effort is being made by the Treasury Secretary and by the Chairman of the Fed to try to control the damage. And when they have seen entities such as Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, or entities such as AIG, whose failure would have a systemic effect which would roll through the financial markets of the country, destabilizing not only those businesses, but also banks down the road, and in the end, Main Street, cost Main Street jobs and cause a tremendous disruption on Main Street. They have stepped in, and stepped in aggressively, and I respect what they've done, and I've supported what they've done. And the markets have also, basically, to some degree, reflected the fact that at least in the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac area, this was the right action. They still haven't digested the AIG issue. And while we're on the AIG issue, I think it's important to point out that we've heard this statement that this is an outrage, that $85 billion is going to be put in to basically take over this insurance company, the largest in the country. Well, first off, that money doesn't come from the Federal Treasury. It comes from the Federal Reserve. And the only way it's going to appear on the federal, on our books, in the federal government's books relative to the budget of the United States, is if the Federal Reserve pays us less in profit than they annually pay us. And they annually pay us about $25 billion because of the cost of that action. Secondly, what the Federal Reserve did was not bail out AIG. They wiped out, for all intents and purposes, the stockholders. And all you need to do is look at the primary stockholder in that company whose net worth dropped by $5.8 billion, was the report I saw yesterday, as a result of this action. That's a pretty deep loss, $5.8 billion individual loss. And in addition, it's likely the senior debt will lose their position and be wiped out. And what will happen here is that the parts of that company are going to be sold off in an orderly way, and it's very likely that a large percentage, if not all of that $85 billion will be recovered, and the Federal Reserve won't end up with any cost on its book and may actually make some money on this action. But in the process, more importantly, they will have done an orderly unwinding of that company so that you did not have a meltdown of that company, which would lead to a downstream catastrophic event for literally hundreds of banks in this country, small banks especially, who have used the AIG insurance to basically solidify the capital on their books. And if those banks fail, and they might well fail if AIG had gone down in an implosion, then Main Street would be affected and jobs would be lost and people would be dramatically impacted. So this was an effort to pay some money now up front in order to avoid a big damage down the road. And to my opinion, it was an effort that had to be taken. But for the other members of the other side of the aisle to come here and start pounding their chest about how outrageous it is that $85 billion is being spent in this manner is first to either they don't understand the issue and understand what happened here, or else they're misrepresenting the issue and in a way that's truly not constructive to settling the markets or to getting a resolution of this thing that will be positive. We still have an issue, though, and it's fairly significant. And the issue is that the underlying credit in the mortgaged area, mortgage-backed securities, is locked up. It's virtually impossible to move these securities off of books because nobody knows the value of these securities. And as a result, the marketplace is not working correctly, and you can't move money, and you can't make loans, and you can't get economic activity, and thus you can't create jobs. And the engine of our economy has always been our real estate industry. And so we as a government have to be thinking about how we should address that. And it may take some significant creativity, and I respect the chairman of the Banking Committee in the House who's openly said, well, maybe we should take another look at something like the Resolution Trust Corporation, which we had in the 90s. This may be the type of vehicle we have to take a look at, but to accomplish that, we have to have a mature approach around here. We have to have an approach that isn't a juvenile partisan attack coming from the other side on initiatives which might constructively resolve this, or at least should be debated in an atmosphere where there's some sort of seriousness about the debate besides hyperbole and political advantage trying to be scored. I'm willing to acknowledge and openly acknowledge that I respect the fact that Congressman Frank has put this concept on the table. It'd be nice if somebody on the other side of the aisle who'd spoken today, and I didn't hear anybody, had come forward and said they respected the fact that the Secretary of Treasury had been willing to take some aggressive action to try to stabilize Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and AIG for the betterment of this country and our economy. But all we're hearing is hyperbole, unfortunately. And it's time that we had some adult reflection on this around here. Yeah, it's an election year. I ask consent for an additional minute.
Without objection, so ordered.
Yes, it's an election year, and we know it's a presidential year. We know everybody's trying to score points. But what we're dealing with here is so big and so important to every American. Basically, the fiscal solvency of our Main Streets and the fiscal solvency of the banks that support Main Street, that we can't allow ourselves, or we should not allow ourselves, to devolve into this type of hyperbole and partisanship. It would be just nice if people around here would be willing to sit down and acknowledge that they're thoughtful ideas coming at this, and they're creative ideas, but they're also going to be controversial. And that in the atmosphere of high partisanship, which I've heard this morning on this floor, you're not going to be able to discuss intelligently, thoughtful, creative, and bold ideas because they're going to be savaged by petty partisanship. Well, we got a job before us as a Congress on this, and clearly the Secretary of Treasury is engaged, and the Secretary of, and the Chairman of the Fed is engaged, and I hope the Congress will get engaged fairly soon too, in a substantive and positive way.